May the Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. John the Baptist appeared, preaching in the desert of Judea, and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." It was of him that the prophet Isaiah had spoken when he said, "A voice of one crying out in the desert, 'Prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his paths.'" John wore clothing made of camel's hair and had a leather belt around his waist. His food was locusts and wild honey. At that time, Jerusalem, all Judea, and the whole region around the Jordan were going out to him and were being baptized by him in the Jordan River as they acknowledged their sins. When he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce good fruit as evidence of your repentance, and do not presume to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I tell you, God can raise up children to Abraham from these stones. Even now the axe lies at the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree that does not bear good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. I am baptizing you with water for repentance. But the one who is coming after me is mightier than I. I am not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fan is in his hand. He will clear his threshing floor and gather his wheat into his barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." The Gospel of the Lord.
It is the second Sunday of Advent, and as we keep getting closer to the Christmas period, the readings begin to challenge us a little more on practical Christianity. Practical Christianity. What exactly do we have to do as Christians? Not just what we are hearing, but what we are doing, the incarnation of Christ, moving us into a deeper understanding of our relationship with God. And we hear that so many times in the readings of today. So there are three things that I want you to think about from this homily. Number one is to ask yourself the question, what am I made for? What am I made for? Number two is, what voices do you hear? And what voices do you listen to? How do those voices inspire you, motivate you? And number three is, what good fruits are you producing through the voices that you hear? So these three things will characterize or shape my homily this morning. And I want you to know that you are made for more. You are made for more. I was listening to Leah Darrow, I would encourage the ladies here to take time to search this lady out. Her website is leahdarrow.com, but if you check on the YouTube, you will see her. She has a lot of things that help us to understand the integration of spiritual and human formation. So Leah was talking at one of the conferences in Steubenville, Ohio. She was addressing the youth. And she captioned her talk at the time, "Rise, he is calling you. Rise, he is calling you." In that talk, Leah narrated her experience. She is born Catholic, but then she began to feel the desire to become a celebrity. She joined the celebrity world and began to do well, to thrive. Leah left the faith, and for 10 years, she wasn't practicing as Catholic. She wasn't receiving the sacraments. So she described that it was during a shooting, when they were preparing for an auditioning, that a voice came to her, and she saw Jesus bent over, kind of a little bit ashamed of what she was doing and where she was running to at the point. So Leah said, at that point, it just struck her. During that auditioning, she made up her mind to leave the celebrity industry. So she said, there and then, she decided to walk out. And her boss called her and said, "Do you know what you are doing? Do you know what you are doing to yourself? You will regret this if you leave." And she said the voice was so strong inside her, telling her, "You are running for the wrong reason. You are going to the wrong place. You are pursuing the wrong goal." Because for her, by then, beauty is defined by the world, and she wants to be beautiful based on what the world sees and what the world perceives her. So it was all about, you're not good enough because you're not that beautiful according to our own plans and designs and definitions. And she said it was so much, and she knew she was at the wrong place at that time. But she decided to leave, and once she left, she called her dad and said, "Dad, I need you to come and pick me up." By then, she was not living with her parents. So she said the dad had to drive 2,000 miles to come and get her. And what the dad said to her as soon as she made the call was, "Baby, I'm coming to get you." She said it was like the voice of the father, God speaking to her, inviting her back. And by the time the dad drove to her house, she said she herself was ashamed to step out. But the dad was like this, waiting for her to do what? To come back. And one of the things that Leah said to the audience was this: sometimes, some choices that are offered to us don't always lead to the path of righteousness. They are beneath our dignity and calling as Christians. But you have to be brave enough to recognize that and then accept what is more. You are made for more. But you have to be brave to accept that and reach out for what is more. I was also reading the book titled The Art of Living, The Art of Living, written by Edward Srey. And Edward Srey in that book, which is the book we are using for the Advent missions, Edward Srey was addressing the four cardinal virtues in that book: fortitude, justice, temperance, and prudence. And Edward Srey discusses how the vice of intemperance kind of cuts us short, makes us to go for less of who we are. And He helps us to understand how we can live out the virtues, especially the virtue of temperance, in contrast with the vice of intemperance. And he said, a man is made for more than pleasure. A man, a woman, is made for more than pleasure. He is made to give the best of himself in relationship. A lack of temperance prevents a man from loving his God, from loving his spouse, from loving his children, from loving his friends as well as he could. You are made for more. In the gospel of today, we hear John, and is described as a voice crying out in the desert, crying out in the wilderness. But I want you to apply this voice and say to yourself, a voice crying in my heart. A voice crying out in my heart. Not in the desert, not in the forest, not on the road. That voice cries out in your heart. And if you recognize that the voice calls you to understand that you are made for more, then the choices you make, the decisions you make, the way you act would be influenced by a proper understanding of what God is asking of and from you. If we go back to the creation account a little bit, we understand Adam and Eve is one story that all of us know so well, right? Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. When God put Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, what God said to Adam and Eve is to walk the garden and to take care of it. That is the elevation. Walk this garden and take care of it. And God created them in his image and likeness. And they were to listen to God's voice. But what happened? They listened to the wrong voice. The serpent came and said to them, did he not say to you? Right? Did he not say to you? So contradicting what God had planted in them. And that tells us the ability of the human person to hear the good voice as well as the bad voice. The good voice speaks, but the bad voice sometimes comes and contradicts the good voice that God himself has planted in us, and which he continues to speak to us very, very slowly and gently. So Adam and Eve lost the sanctity that was made for creation through listening to the wrong voice, through their disobedience and depravity, sin, injustice, unfaithfulness began to reign in the world. This explains the reason for human brokenness, as we see, and is a narrative in numerous biblical accounts. If you go through the Old Testament, you see the Israelites not living according to God's ways, the shepherds of Israel becoming corrupt. You get through the New Testament, you hear the story of Ananias and Sapphira. You hear the prodigal son wandering away. You see the conspiracy by the Jews to put Jesus to death. All these are the reasons for human brokenness, depravity that arose from the original sin, the sin caused by Adam and Eve because of listening to negative and bad voice. The theme of this reading, the readings this weekend, helps us to understand God's invitation, that invitation is private, that invitation is personal, and that we need to listen to it. The prophet Isaiah gives us an idea of what this king is coming to do. So if you know and understand what creation is meant for, and how this creation had been distorted by Adam and Eve at the garden, then you understand more the mission of the king, the shoot that will spring from the stump of Jesse. What is he coming to do? Restoration. Restore the human dignity. Restore the human position. raise the status of our human dignity to the level that God had intended for it, and which is the original plan for the Garden of Eden. That is what Christ has come to do. And that is why the prophet Isaiah gives us this wonderful, beautiful image. Justice shall be the band around the west, his waist, and faithfulness as a belt upon his hips. Then the wolf shall be guest of the lamb, and leopard shall lie down with the kid. The calf and the young lion shall browse together, with the little child to guide them. The cow and the bear shall be neighbors. Together their young shall rest. The lion shall eat hay like the ox. The baby shall play by the cobra's den, and the child lay his hand on the adder's lair. There shall be no harm or ruin on all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. What a beautiful image, right? What a beautiful image. Just apply it to our own time. If we understand our dignity, then we listen to the voice of peace. The voice of peace. If the lion and the sheep would feed together, why wouldn't, for example, the Democrats and the Republican talk together? Right? Hello? Yeah, the lion. Right? Why wouldn't there be peace among people representing the masses? Why can we not speak the same language? If it's a Democrat, I'm not listening. If I'm Republican, that's the game. If I'm Republican, no matter how good the Democrats' position or subject is, that's not for me. So the case is closed. That's what is happening. And maybe your spouse is Democrat and you're Republican. There's fire in your house, right? Yeah, there is fire because you don't discuss it. You don't talk politics here. You don't talk politics in the house. You don't talk religion in the house. This is how it is. How can the lion and the sheep feed together? How can the little child lead them? How can they browse together if we don't understand that our dignity is fundamentally from God, not from politics? That's the question. I was seeing a spouse, a couple, and then they called me and said, "Hey, Father, we are coming over next week. So can we look at the schedule?" I said, "Okay, let's look at the schedule. But how are things going?" The guy said, "Father, at least there is ceasefire in the house for now." Right? There is ceasefire for now until we see you. My friends, the voice of revengeance is negative. The voice of hatred is negative. The voice of anxiety is negative. The voice of depression is negative. And these voices do not help us to appreciate the value of our dignity. That voice, John says today, "I am the voice that cries," not just in the desert, not just in the scriptures and what we hear. The voice should cry in our hearts, reminding us constantly of what we are made for, that you are made for more. God has made you for more, so why do you go for less? Why do you hurt yourself, or why do you allow yourself to be hurt by what society has created? So John says that that voice calls us to repentance. And what is repentance? Each time the message of repentance is preached, a voice speaks to us. That voice calls our attention to our dignity. The voice challenges us as Christians. The voice draws our attention to the real meaning of Christ's coming. The voice tells the story of our restoration. The voice reminds us that in Christ Jesus, what was lost in the Garden of Eden is raised once again to God's original plan. John was harsh, and he gives us practical Christianity, which connects me to the third point: to produce good fruits. If you understand that you are made for more, If you understand that you have to live as God wills it and as God calls you, then you listen to the proper voice. If you listen to the proper voice, you will be able to do what? Produce good fruits. With what you do and understanding who you are, produce good fruits. If somebody asks you what you are made for, what would be your answer? It's good to think about it. What would be your answer? What are you made for? I'm sure you might be thinking, my profession, right? My profession, my vocation. That's what I'm made for. But we are made for a relationship with God. We are made not just for the world, we are made for heaven. Pause for a while and think about the sense. Think about the sense and how much they could influence your life, how much they could inspire you. Mother Teresa, for example, lived according to three modest tenets. Three examples. Simple. Good works, principle of life, and community. And these guided her in everything that she did, finding the face of God in the wounded, the bruised, the abandoned, the less privileged. Just that, good works, good principle of life, and community. And she endeared herself to others because she knew that she was made for more. How can you produce good fruits? By recognizing that you are made for this relationship. And Mr. President, produce good fruits. That's all. I am a priest, produce good fruits. I am a husband, a wife, produce good fruits. I am a politician, produce good fruits. I am a medical doctor, produce good fruits. I am a nurse, produce good fruits. I am a lawyer, produce good fruits. I am a driver, produce good fruits. I am a pilot, produce good fruits. I am a teacher, produce good fruits. A librarian, electrician, produce good fruits. That's all, right? That's all God is asking us, from us. So if each person produces good fruit in the world, the lion and the sheep will feed together. If each of us makes up our minds during this period to produce good fruits of love, of justice, of fairness, of compassion, the world will be so, so, so beautiful and nice. If the Democrat recognizes that he is there or she is there to produce good fruit, make positive policies for the good of the masses, and the Republican recognizes that that is the same goal he or she has, good fruits, all of us will live together. So let us think about this as we get closer to Christmas. You are made for more. Don't go for less. Think of the voices that you listen to. And those voices that are healthy and positive will help you to live a healthy life and as well to maintain good relationships. And the product is that we become a tree that produces fruits that will glorify God and keep you in peace. Amen.
Amen.